Tonight we are going to return to our studies in the book of Joshua, having taken the break that we took last week and looking at another subject. And tonight we are going to look at these two key characters from the Exodus period, the men Joshua and Caleb. I have to admit that when I first started preparing this sermon, I actually called it The Pressures and Privileges of Silver Service. Now, those of you who were subtle enough to know what I was on about, I was talking about the silver hairs that many of us sport. And the reason for that was that both of these men are 80 plus. But I thought this is the wrong emphasis in a service where all of us are together. And perhaps it's the wrong emphasis simply to see the men themselves, but to see them rather tonight as God sees them and God uses them. Therefore, I've entitled the message, God Does Not Forget. God Does Not Forget. And the first thing that I want us to see in this passage tonight is that God does not forget his people. God does not forget his people. All of us at times hit situations where our circumstances seem to overwhelm us and we think, Lord, have you forgotten that I exist? Or maybe we're in a situation where there is so much blessing and all the attention seems to be out there and everybody is looking out there. What about them? And we're thinking, well, Lord, what about me? But let me take you back to the beginning of this book when God called Joshua and he said to him, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I believe that in these two passages that we have read together tonight, where we have looked at Joshua and Caleb in their 80s, God is reminding them of that fact. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you're here tonight and you're a teenager and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me remind you that the Lord will never forget you. If you are here tonight and you're 80 plus or 90 plus and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, remember, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you are here tonight as a new Christian, remember, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We live in an age that is obsessed by youth. And we find people having this beauty treatment, having that beauty treatment, having facelifts, constantly trying to make themselves look younger and pretend that they are younger. People cater for young people, they pander to young people. And this happens both within the church and outside the church. But friends, with our emphasis on young people and helping young people get through the issues of life, preparing them for life, let me ask, has it made any real difference? Is our society today any more secure than it was a generation or two generations ago? When we get to the point where we focus on one age group, whether it is youth or whether it is the over 60s, and we neglect other age groups, we have lost the emphasis of God's word. Every age group has its place in God's economy. And I would go as far as to say, this is true of our marital status, whether we're married, single, divorced. God has his eye on us, and he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So tonight, I want us to look at these two men, Joshua and Caleb, and to see their experience of God, and to see what we can learn from them. let's be honest, all of us, when we were younger, probably treated in a cutting and hurtful way those who were much older than ourselves. And some of us have got to the point where perhaps we rue that day because age has begun to take its toll and we are no longer the youthful characters that we once were. But creep along, as the writer of Ecclesiastes reminds us. Very few of us want to accept that we are elderly. But some of us have already got our bus pass, haven't we? And a reminder of the fact that society is giving us a message. It wants to help us out. It wants to help us along. But God has not forgotten us. And tonight I want to show you two men who have persevered against all the odds in the midst of God's people who were not as faithful as they might have been. In a way, both of them have persevered in different roles. Joshua was there in the front line. He was, to put it in political terms, he was the prime minister. But he was the leader of God's people. He was the head man. Now, we met Joshua earlier in the book of Numbers. Met Caleb earlier in the book of Numbers. And he was described as a leader of his people, the tribe of Judah. And we're reminded of that in the reading tonight. But, to be honest, for 45 years, he has been in the wings. He's been on the sidelines. He hasn't had this prominent role. And yet, he has persevered. He has kept going. You might feel a bit like Caleb tonight. Oh, I've kept going. I'm always faithful, but nobody notices me. Let me remind you of this heading: God does not forget his people. Remember the story of Hagar? Abused by her master, pregnant, runs away, ready to let the child die that has been born. And in the AV it says, "Thou God seest me." You may feel as though God doesn't care about you because of your sin. But God sees each of us, and God does not forget his people. Let's tighten the focus then and look at these men separately. As we look at the book of Joshua, as we look at the man Joshua, I want us to look at him under the heading, God does not forget his promises. God does not forget his promises. And if you look at the beginning of chapter 13, we are told this. Not a very flattering introduction, is it? Now, Joshua was old and advanced in years. Joshua was getting past it. And the Lord said to him. Isn't that wonderful? God had not rejected him. God had not forgotten him. God spoke to him. I want to commend him, because as old as he was, he probably didn't have a hearing aid. He didn't have the assistance of a hearing loop, but he was still listening for God. God had not been pushed to the sidelines. Scripture is realistic about age. I was saying earlier in my introduction that we live in a world that is bent on covering up the reality of age. Facelifts, Botox, whatever. But Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is an incredible chapter because it describes old age like it really is. You know, it begins with that statement, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light of the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. What's it saying? Life is becoming hazy. Can't see you so much now. All of us have the assistance, don't we? Of glasses, or a lot of us do. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble. A number of us know the reality of that. The legs aren't as strong as they used to be. And the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few. Remember what Churchill was remembered for a few weeks ago? His false teeth. But Scripture is realistic, and so it goes on. And it describes what is often sad about the decline, the effects of the fall in all of us. And yet God is saying, even though Joshua was getting to this point, old and advanced in years, God was still speaking to him. And God is speaking to us tonight. Joshua was alert to God. And in a way, I want to use this as an encouragement to those of you who are older. If you remember the young Samuel, a young man, full of life, full of vigor. He went to bed. God spoke to him, Samuel, Samuel. And he didn't know who was speaking to him. But we have got a contrast here. We have got this old man. And he hears God, and he is reminded that God has not forgotten him. And there's a challenge here for young people. Young people, don't look at those with the grey hairs and perhaps the walking sticks, those who are struggling, and say, oh, they're past it. In reality, some of them may be closer to God than ever you are. Take time to listen to them and to learn from what they have to say. But the second thing that I want us to see here, Joshua was alert to God, but God was gently honest with him. You were old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to possess. What was God saying to him? Having encouraged him, he was now saying, there is still work that you have to do. The work that I gave you to do is not yet completed. This is the land that yet remains. This is gentle, but it's honest. And we have to be honest with each other. Have we, like Paul, been able to say that we've kept the faith, we finished the course? Can we, like our Lord Jesus Christ, say that we have finished the work that God had given us to do? Earlier I quoted Joshua 1 and verse 5, and Joshua was old and advanced in years. But here God is saying, is reminding him of the immediate verse that follows that. Be strong and courageous. You shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. And Joshua is being reminded, the task that I gave you was to lead these people into the promised land. That task has not been taken from you. That responsibility has not been handed over to somebody else. And it still had to be fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, no matter how old we are, the eternal purposes of God will never change. But our ability to fulfill those purposes will. We haven't got the strength that we once had. Under the gospel, God is not concerned about geography. He's not saying to us, go in and possess the land. And this is something that we, as a nation, the Welsh in particular, we have got to be careful about being parochial. God gave his Old Testament people a land, But he hasn't given us a land to possess. He has given us the world. He has given us the nations. We are not limited to geography or to a particular ethnic group. The gospel vision for us is go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has said to us. And lo, I am with you until the close of the age. This is our responsibility. Let me remind you of this tonight. Yes, we thank God for the blessings that we have within our congregation, but we are not to become a holy huddle. We are not to simply enjoy coming Sunday morning, Sunday evening, enjoying sermons, encouraging one another on a Wednesday evening as we pray. No. God is gently honest with us. There is a responsibility. We have to take this message to the nations. And friends, we have to be honest about our own nation. We have sent missionaries. We were reminded at Abba of those who have gone to, who went to India from Wales. We were reminded, or West in recent days have been negotiating with people from Korea. Why? Because the Koreans want to give back to Wales something of what Wales gave to them in sending them the early missionaries. We were a mission-sending nation. But friends, I can take you to parts of Wales today where there are American and Korean missionaries. Why? Because we as a nation have lost our vision. We have forgotten the responsibility that God has given to us. And we need to hear afresh, our nation needs to hear afresh, that there is much land that needs to be possessed. And I spoke to you earlier about this seminar on October the 9th. We as a church need to adopt a mission mindset. We need to see that while we are not going to go to the ends of the earth, perhaps, God has brought the nations of the earth here. And we are to be reminded that our evangelism is to be driven by mission principles, reaching out to those who perhaps we find it difficult to reach out to. Learning languages, perhaps, that we don't currently understand in order that we might connect with people. God was honest with Joshua and reminded him of the vision. But notice the renewed promise. Again in verse 6. I myself will drive them out from before the people of Israel. Yes, the land had to be possessed. Yes, people had to be dispossessed, but who was going to do it? A trained crack army of SAS agents, of commandos? No. God was going to do it. Who had conquered Jordan? God had conquered Jordan. Who had conquered Jericho? God had conquered Jericho. And God is saying here that he is the one who will keep his promise and he will drive the people out. Friends, let me remind you tonight, with all the opportunities that we have, with all the skills that we have, with all the academic training and the books and the videos and the websites, we are not going to do it ourselves. We will only do it in the strength and the power of our God. And that is what we need to be doing. We need to remind ourselves that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes, we have an evangelistic responsibility, but we have to walk with our God. We have to prevail upon him. We have to plead with him that we would see him again, drawing lost sinners to himself, establishing men and women in the truth of God's words. We have to throw ourselves on the promises of God's words. As a church, we pray for revival. We want to see our nation moved as it was in 1904, 1859. But friends, let me remind you that every person who is converted is a foretaste, is, if you like, a tiny sample of revival, because every conversion is a demonstration of the power of God. Let's pray that God would keep His promise and that He would give new birth, He would give new life, that men and women might call upon Him. So we've seen the reminder of the responsibilities. We've seen God's honesty, gentle honesty. We've seen God renewing His promises. But what else does He say to Joshua? Well, here we skip over this long list of nations and kings, and we go down to verse 6. And this is what God says to Joshua: only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now therefore, divide this land for an inheritance to the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. In the early days, God had said to Joshua, arise, you and all this people, and go over and take possession of the land. What is God saying to him now? He is saying, sit down, talk to the leaders of your people, divide up the land, take responsibility, show people what they have to possess. And friends, Christians often talk about retirement, and they are usually divided on it. On one side, you've got Christians who say there is no retirement in the service of God. There are others who are willing to say that while the call of God is irrevocable and irreversible, our emphasis in ministry does change. And that is what we see coming out here. A younger man, Joshua, was told, lead these people in. The old man, Joshua, is told, show these young people what has to take place. Show them their responsibility. Delegate responsibility to a rising generation. I plead with us that each of us might recognize our gifting and our abilities, as well as our limitations. And those of us who are older, let us encourage, let us equip, let us enable a younger generation. Let's pray that God would raise up a younger generation from within our church. I thank God for the young families that He is drawing in amongst us. Let's welcome them as part of our church. Let's encourage them so that we together might fulfill the purposes of God. Young people, please don't dismiss the older people as if they don't understand your situation. Yes, the world has changed. Yes, many of us grew up with traditional Christian values undergirding our society. It is tough for you, but the Lord has strengthened many of us through generations, and perhaps we have got some wisdom that we can share with you. Certainly, we've got a spirit that will pray for you and will encourage you to keep going. We, as younger people, knew the struggles of teenage issues. We knew the struggles of young marrieds, the sleepless nights with the restless children, the demands of work, the pressures of the mortgage, alongside church responsibilities. God is saying to Joshua, I'm not asking you to face those issues now, but what I am asking you to do is to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. May each of us take our responsibility within the Church of God. I want to encourage those of you who worship with us to
really consider what God is saying to you, saying to all of us about how we take our responsibilities within the church and how we take our role within the church. God does not forget his promises. And as we look at Caleb, we see a God who does not forget his power. Caleb, it would seem, is quite a different character, faithful to the last. And we take up his story in chapter 14. And the first thing that we read about Caleb is here in the middle of verse 6 of chapter 14. You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. What is he doing? As a man of 85, he is saying, I remember how I trusted God in those days. I remember the promises that God gave me. But he isn't standing here in pride. I'm sure it could be written of Caleb, as it was written of Paul and by Paul. I am what I am by the grace of God. And friends, that's all we are. No matter what natural giftings we have, I am what I am. You are what you are by the grace of God. And Caleb is going back. Going back to when? When he was 40, fit and faithful. Because he says in verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Now the original story is recorded in Numbers chapter 14. His faith was not mere theory. He wasn't in a classroom having read the latest book. He hadn't downloaded the latest podcast from an American megachurch. He had been there. He had seen the enemy. He had seen the giants in the land. But he still believed God. And he was prepared to trust God. He was ready to go in, even though he saw the giants. Faith is not faith until it's the last thing that you're hanging on to. Friends, do we see such faith today? I know many men who can explain the doctrines of grace, but do they manifest the grace of the doctrines? I know many men who can explain to me the great confessions of faith, but do they practice their faith? Friends, what we have in the scriptures has to be lived out. This man, in his middle years of life, perhaps the best years, was faithful to his God. But his potential was crushed. It was limited. It was restricted. He wanted to be faithful. I want to ask you tonight that question that the Lord Jesus Christ asked. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Friends, I ask you tonight personally, I ask us as a church, are we prepared to trust God with everything? For we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. 40, fit and faithful. But here he is, having been fortified for 45 years. Verse 10, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. Although he was 85 years of age, he was confident of God's enabling. Friends, I have to confess, up here I'm as strong as I was when I was 25. But here, and in my legs, and in my back, I don't know that strength. But here was a man who knew the reality of Moses' words, as your days, so shall your strength be. I was talking to you earlier about how Christians disagree over retirement. Caleb was not going to retire for anybody. And as long as God enables, we are to serve him. We are not to give up, whether that's in formal ministry or informal ministry. And I would certainly encourage many of you older folk, if you want to put down formal responsibilities, continue to demonstrate your faith in God and your love for other people. Continue to show people that you still can say, I love the Lord because he has heard my cry. Although Caleb was shouted down, he didn't lose his faith. Although he saw the judgment of God when men like Korah and Abiram rose up and opposed Moses, he did not forget his faith. Many of us know the acronym that is used to describe Calvinism, TULIP. And those letters are used to explain different truths of the Christian life. But how often do you hear the letter P preached on? That great word, the perseverance of the saints. People give up too easily today, don't they? They face the pressures and they turn aside. But friends, no, we have got to keep going. We have got to persevere. We're not like our throwaway society. Oh, it's out of date now. Throw it away. Why have we needed to start recycling? It's because we throw things away too quickly. Caleb was not going to be recycled. He persevered. He kept going. He carried on with God. And in the end, he was confident in conflict. Verse 12. So now give me this hill country, I love the AV, give me this mountain, of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there, with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Many of you were there on Wednesday evening, when we heard the testimony of Brian Handy. Wasn't it wonderful? And I finished the prayer meeting with those wonderful words from Isaiah 59. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. As we went through that prayer meeting, I considered what God had done in the life of Brian and his wife. For those of you who weren't there, Brian Handy, the principal of Baldius Theological Seminary, he was a communist. He said, when I went to study in Russia, I thought I had reached utopia. But God broke him. He came back from Russia, an alcoholic. And as I thought of the way God saved that man. I reminded the people there in the meeting. The night he was converted, God saved a man, Brian. God saved a woman, his wife. That man had been a communist. He had been an atheist. And he was a drunkard. His wife was a Buddhist. And she was Sinhalese. He was a Tamil. He was an academic. And all of these things seemed to fly in the face of needing the one true and living God. You know, it was thrilling. They could not explain anything about Christian theology when they were converted. Brian, when he prayed the night of his conversion, he said, "God, I am not afraid to die, but I don't want to go to hell." And God saved him. Thrilling. No clear statement of faith, but he knew his needs. His wife, a practicing Buddhist, didn't even know the name of God. "But I pray to my mother-in-law's God that you will save my husband." Not only did God hear that prayer for her husband, God heard the prayer that, in a way, she didn't pray herself, and God saved her. Thrilling. Wonderful. And this is the gospel that you have asked me to preach. This is the gospel that we must give to Newport. This is the gospel that is still able to save men and women in our day and generation. Oh, please pray that God would continue to save souls in our midst. The final challenge for us tonight is verse 14. "Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite to this day." Why? Because he wholly followed the God of Israel. Can that be said of you, friends? He wholly followed the Lord. There's a house as you drive up through High Cross. You probably know the house I'm talking of. And it's got a plaque on the side of it, or it did have earlier in the week. "If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all." Friends, are you wholly committed? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anyone else? Does your heart burn in concern for the lost? Do you plead that whatever days God might give to you might be used not simply for the conquest of sin in this world, but for the salvation of lost sinners? Or are you in two camps, here and enjoying the praise of God tonight, but tomorrow following the fashion and the commitment of this world? James says, "The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." I believe, friends, that the church in our day and generation has lost its power. Why? Because it's lost its confidence in God. Caleb saw many people rebel and oppose God during his lifetime, but he never wavered. We see conflict within the church and without the church. Are we ready to fight on in the battle until we hear that, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter the joy of your Lord"? How would you have written the story that we've talked about tonight? Yes, you'd have wanted to say that Joshua was strong to the end and was leading God's people. Some of you might have said, "Why bring Caleb to the fore now? We've seen so little of him for 45 years. God remembers his people. God does not forget his people, his promises, or his power. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. But let me just apply this in one last way tonight. This is for every Christian in this building. I want to ask you, are you tonight in Christ? Have you come to Christ? Do you trust him fully? Because this means nothing unless you have asked Christ to save you and unless you walk with him daily. Now is the day of salvation. Call upon the Lord that you may be saved. Our Father and our God, we thank you for these wonderful men that spent their lives serving our God. Thank you for Joshua and the humility that marked his early life as he served under Moses. Thank you for his trust as he led your people in. Thank you for the humility of Caleb, that he stayed in the background for so long. But even in his old age, he was not prepared to give up, and he claimed the promises of God. Father, we claim your promises tonight. You have promised, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Lord, as you've promised that, we pray that you will fulfill that promise. Give us men, give us women, give us boys, give us girls who will call upon the name of the Lord and who will be saved. Hear us, we pray, that there might be rejoicing in heaven and there might be joy in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.